Dr. William S. Eidelman strives to give the utmost quality service to his patients by providing alternative medicine and therapy treatments that are neglected by Western medicine and proven successful time and time again in his clinic. Dr. Eidelman earned his doctorate from St. Louis University School of Medicine and has over 40 years of practical experience. Throughout his education and long after residency, Dr. Eidelman began exploring and appreciating the value in long neglected natural nutrition and alternative medicine. He traveled all over the world learning different alternative practices and was greatly influenced by bioenergy therapy, nutritional treatment, and the power of the mind and spirit to heal the body, in contrast to narcotics. When the Compassionate Use Act passed in California in 1997, many patients approached him to write letters of recommendation. After extensive research and seeing how effective cannabis could treat such a wide variety of conditions, Dr. Eidelman began to include recommendations as part of his practice in 1997. He hasn't looked back since. One of the pioneers in the medical cannabis field, Dr. Eidelman embraces the philosophy that while there's much research to be done, natural medicine is the way of the future and already benefits to many patients in a huge variety of ways. While Western medicine has its strengths, and he is authored to recommend prescription drugs, Dr. Eidelman specializes as a consultant in natural medicine and prefers to use his extensive expertise in alternative practices with greater success with his patients. To him, health is the unified and positive state of the body and mind and spirit, and nature offers everything humans need to be healthy. Patients need only to acknowledge the potential and their conscious involvement in their own recovery. Dr. Eidelman is proud to offer discounts to veterans and patients with hardships, as well as a lower price for returning patients. He is available for follow-up questions by phone, and all appointments must be scheduled ahead of time. In addition to medical cannabis recommendations, Dr. Eidelman specializes in different types of natural medicine, including herbal remedies, vitamins, specialized nutritional diets, and more. He also practices energy medicine, using the electromagnetic currents in the human body to redirect energies and restore patients to a place of homeostasis. With these therapies, he has helped patients with anxiety, quitting smoking, and other addictive dependencies, and more. He offers energy therapy using both alpha, STIM, and QRS treatments, and invests much of his time researching new methods to offer his patients. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dr. Eidelman, and I look forward to hearing about cannabis and cancer treatment. Now, first, cannabis is the gateway herb to natural medicine. Can you explain this?
Yes. You know, for a long time, cannabis has been demonized and said to be the gateway drug to other bad drugs. But in fact, you know, it's a plant, it's an herb, and as people are discovering how wonderful it is for healing so many different things, then it turns out that, well, is cannabis the only plant in nature with healing qualities? And the answer, of course, is no. And if you look closely, probably every plant has some healing qualities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so people who might not have ever heard of the idea that plants in general can be healing, once they've been introduced to cannabis as a healing plant, then, oh yeah, and there's many other things you could or should do as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's why I call cannabis the gateway herb to natural medicine, because for many people, it's their first foray, if you will, into natural medicine.
Great. Would you include a plant-based diet as a natural medicine?
Well, sure, of course.
Yeah.
Food heals. Let your food be your medicine, let your medicine be your food. It's a famous old quote from one of the founders of medicine.
Right. One of the things I'm finding as I interview different people is that more and more the plant-based diet is becoming a part of many of the chronic illnesses.
So, well, I think there's a lot of research that shows that animal-based foods can and do contribute to cancer and other diseases. So for sure, in treating cancer, for most people, it would be better to completely avoid animal products during the healing process. And of course, sugar. Of course, sugar comes from plants, but that's one of the things that feeds cancer.
Right. Well, I was very impressed with the doctor I had 44 years ago. He put me on a vegan diet, and that was unheard of back then. But he was very progressive in his treatment plan. He even explained to me the reason that I was on high-dose vitamin A, and I found research that validated that about 5 years ago. So I figured that his practice was about 40 years ahead of the research. So that was exciting.
That's great.
Then, have you seen cannabis cure cancer?
Well, I have, for sure. People have come to me. I have patients, they're coming to me, and a lot of times it's after the fact, where somebody had cancer, used cannabis to get cured of cancer, and then they come to me to get the letter of recommendation under California law that makes it legal for them to continue. But they've already cured themselves. There's this one lady in particular who had a melanoma, malignant melanoma. And she described it, you know, on her arm, and it took actually some months for it to go away. And then as I was preparing my talk at Cancer Control, I asked her if she would send me pictures of it, which she did. And it was the ugliest, grossest thing you ever saw on her arm, big. And she managed to make it go away using cannabis and diet, basically. She didn't use any conventional medical treatment. And she got well completely. And then other patients have come in. I hear many, many stories. And there are a couple in particular, one just this last week of a lady who was diagnosed with metastatic ovarian cancer. And so she got the diagnosis, and then it took 3 months before they finally operated on her. And during that time, she took the cannabis oil, and then when they opened it up, the cancer was there, but it was all dead, and they all freaked out. It was in a teaching institution, and so there were residents and medical students and a big crowd in the operating room, and they all flipped out when they realized the cancer was dead. What did you do? And you have such high doses in your blood of THC. Then there was another case similar to that where somebody had a cancer. I guess it was diagnosed by MRI or CAT scan, something like that. And it was a pretty big cancer. And it took 3 months before they actually did the operation. And during that period of time, he did the cannabis oil. And the doctor spent like 4 or 5 hours looking for it and couldn't find it. He said it was the first time that ever happened. you know, the guy got cured. So, and then there are many other cases, especially like somebody, let's say somebody's mother or father gets cancer and they make the cannabis oil for them. And then the oil cures their cancer and they're going, wow, this is fun. And then they start making more of it, giving it away to other people. And so it turns out to be sort of a grassroots program unrelated to doctors. They're not going through doctors in general. They make the oil, they give it to people with cancer, and in many cases, the cancer gets better, goes away.
I interviewed William Bagston a couple of weeks ago, and he is a researcher, and he has cured cancer with energy medicine. Not in humans yet, but he's done it with cells and with rats.
Well, what form of energy medicine was it?
It was his own brand. I never completely understood.
Well, I mean, some healing technique he did through his own hands, you mean?
It was using hands and imagery, right.
And imagery? Yeah. Oh, okay.
And now he's trying, I didn't completely understand it, Dr. Eidelman. He's trying to do a downloadable program that would be free to anyone. He's experimenting to see if the waves can be picked up somehow and put on a downloadable program. I thought it was interesting, but I didn't completely understand it.
It's an amazing concept, and for sure, energy medicine covers a really wide range of territory.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And my first introduction to energy medicine was, you know, over 40 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and was really using the body's own natural energy. And of course, at the time, my first really introduction to energy was right after I graduated from medical school, and I was traveling from St. Louis to San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
Oakland, where I was going to be doing training. And I stopped at the bottom of the Grand Canyon. This was like in 1970. And there was some hippie girl from Berkeley, and she was talking about the energy of this and the energy of that. I'm going, what are you talking about, this energy? And she goes, oh, you're moving to Berkeley, you'll find out. and so sure enough, I get there, and my first introduction was energy a la, you know, in acupuncture. The Chinese talk about energy flowing mm-hmm. through the body.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, no one had really measured it or anything. And I did something called polarity therapy. I learned it, which is a kind of a hands-on energy healing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then by and by over the years, then different devices came out that I started working with as well, and other hands-on energy healing techniques. And some of these technologies actually do work in treating cancer. So that there's this microelectric device I've worked with now for a long time that actually, there's two different aspects to it. One is it hooks up to the ears. It's anti-anxiety, anti-depression.
Mm.
FDA was court-ordered to allow the company to say it works for anxiety and depression
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And insomnia. And the same electric current applied to the body relieves pain. And there's a lady who used it to treat the pain of chronic lymphocytic leukemia, and she was able to prove that it reduced her leukemia count.
Mm-hmm.
And she did great for about 10 years. And around the same time that I discovered that this microcurrent worked to erase the craving for cigarettes, she published her little book about her use of the device in treating her leukemia.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't really doing, she admitted that after 10 years, she wasn't really doing well. And I suggested to her, well, why don't you try my favorite treatment for cancer, which is poly-MVA. I'm sure you've mm-hmm. heard of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I sent her some poly-MVA, and she did really great and managed to go another almost 10 years. And then as she was going downhill again at the end there, that's when the cannabis thing was just starting out
mm-hmm.
and for cancer. And I suggested to her she try it, but she just wouldn't. You know, some people mm-hmm. just too big of a jump because they've been so programmed on how
right,
people live.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
That it's hard to make the switch to, wait a minute, this evil drug actually is, you know, may cure cancer. But it does. She wouldn't do it. And then she ended up leaving her body. But she went 20 years. She went and she had a great life, much, much, much longer than was expected.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a micro magnetic treatment that I've been using for 20 years, and I've seen that. I have a friend, a close friend, who had a really bad neurofibrosarcoma, a horrible kind of cancer. And he was fighting it in different natural ways. And at one point, he felt like he was losing the battle, he told me. And that was just when I was introduced to this device. I had just purchased it. And I said, well, you should try this technology. Oh, no, I don't really believe in it. But I went to visit him and took the thing with me. And he ended up saying that he thought it saved his life. And he's continued to use it mm-hmm. all these years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's micromagnetic. And then there's a relatively newer technology that's megamagnetic that's also used in cancer, alternative cancer clinics around the world. So there's a whole wide range of energy medicine.
Mm-hmm. Now, the micro, is that similar at all to the beamer?
Well, it's similar to the beamer. Actually, the beamer changed its magnetic field a couple of years ago, and the original beamer really didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
The new
mm-hmm.
beamer kind of took the waveform from the device I'm talking about, which is the QRS, the Quantron Resonance System.
Mm-hmm.
So they sort of adapted that waveform, and then when they adapted that waveform, then their thing improved. So yeah, it's similar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's the micromagnetic that I still love and use every day, and there's the megamagnetic that I use every day myself, and all these things stimulate healing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things that we were taught, and I'm sure you've heard it, and many people still believe it, that the body is electrochemical but not electromagnetic.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with that idea?
Mm-hmm.
That the body has electrically charged particles, but it doesn't have electric currents in the body. There's no wires. But and there are Nobel Prizes on that subject too, you know, going back many, many years. So
mm-hmm.
it was like really even, dogmatic. It is absolute. The body's electrochemical. It's not electromagnetic.
Mm-hmm.
But then it turns out that Robert O. Becker, an orthopedic surgeon from upstate New York in basic science research in the 1960s, actually proved that the body does function as a liquid crystal. It is a liquid crystal with semiconducting microelectric currents through the body that turn out to be even more important than the electrochemistry in a certain way. So the body is electromagnetic after all in a very high-tech way, and most people don't understand it or realize it. It can be used in cancer treatment, too.
I interviewed two men, Clayton and Jeffrey, who have FLFE, Forced Light Frequency Energy, I think it is, and they have learned how to channel energy to property and raise the consciousness and the property. And they've also used a scale that had been around a long time, but the inventor had died, and they can measure the energy. But what I found interesting at what they're doing is they're able to channel to a cell phone, and the energy that the cell phone gives off is positive now, whereas people used to be concerned about the cell phone because it gave off negative energy, and they said that it could cause brain cancer and reproductive cancer. But they're able to convert that to a positive energy now.
Well, that would be really amazing if it's true. That's the first I've heard of it.
Is it?
But I would love to know more.
I'll give you their information, and when we finish, and you can get in touch with them if you like and quiz them. Then back to the cannabis. Have you seen failures in people that use cannabis for cancer?
I have seen a few. Nothing works for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Apparently triple positive estrogen breast cancer, that high, the really high levels of THC don't work, don't cure it.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be one example that I've heard of.
Mm-hmm.
But just in general, nothing works for everybody. And sometimes, like, there was this one gal, she's a longtime patient of mine, and then maybe, you know, since the beginning, the Compassionate Use Act went into effect 20 years ago, and she was one of my earlier patients way back then.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, she came down with metastatic cancer, and she used high-dose cannabis, and it wasn't curing her. And then she ended up, even her son said, you better do chemo or you're out of here. And she did do chemo, but she continued to do the cannabis oil. Mm-hmm. And the chemo in the cancer that she had was not expected to cure her. It just gives her a little extra time. But she did the chemo and continued the oil, and then she did get cured.
Mm, great.
So, or let's say, you know, she went into remission.
Mm-hmm.
We don't
mm-hmm.
like to use the word cure. You know, it's one of those four-letter words.
Right, right.
But anyway, now, you know, the chemo finished, and now we're already a few years later, and she's still in remission. So that would be one of the situations where cannabis in combination with other things work. So uh-huh. I have heard mm-hmm. other cases where people use cannabis and they did vitamin, high dose vitamin C vitamin drips. And, you know, there's a whole range, as you know, of alternative cancer therapies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And cannabis is one of them. And usually you need to use more than one. Although for sure there are people who've gotten well on cannabis alone, but in general, one should use as many things as one can.
I think that's so true. My master's and doctorate are in public health, and we had the concept of multi-causation leading up to disease and wellness process. And so I figured when I had cancer, if there are multiple factors that lead up to a disease process, then there has to be multiple interventions to deal with those multiple factors.
That's exactly right, and you're living proof that it works.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so, you know, I decided that prayer, faith, optimism, forgiving, all of those spiritual things are just as important as anything that the doctor told me to do. And I added all of those, and the research now is beginning slowly to show that these things do have an effect on the body and will deplete the killer cells, will do all kinds of things that were unthought of, you know, 40 years ago. So I agree with you 100%. How long does it take when someone uses cannabis oil?
Well, people are saying that it'd be 3 months. One of the history of it goes back to a gentleman named Rick Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
You've probably heard
mm-hmm.
of Rick Simpson, mm-hmm. right? And the way the story is that he had apparently had some kind of a head injury and had made this super duper concentrated cannabis oil for treating his head injury. And then he had skin cancers, plural, and he put this oil topically on the skin cancers 2 or 3 times a day, and after 2 or 3 weeks, they fell off, and the area healed over normally.
Mm-hmm.
And then other people did the same thing, and then people started taking it internally and reporting their internal cancers went away, and then he started, you know, the word spread from him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he put up his website, and he didn't try to make any money off of it. He didn't try and patent it. He didn't try and manipulate it in any way. He explained to people how to make it. So this lady the other day I was just telling you about who had mm-hmm. the ovarian surgery, she made her own cannabis oil based on the recipe that he gave on his website.
Oh.
And so it's just pretty amazing
mm-hmm.
what's happening.
And what kind of a dosage do people take when it's for cancer?
Okay, so that's the next thing. So what they're saying is that you take a gram a day of this concentrate, which is a really large amount, and that a total of 60 grams is what cures it. Although initially he was saying that you take this oil and you would take about the size of a grain of rice,
mm-hmm.
and then you would put that in your mouth. And that's, of course, way less than a gram. That is enough to give a very strong effect, even psychoactive effect.
Mm-hmm.
And so then people would build up from that, from the small, although I have had people tell me that using only the size of a grain of rice once a day
mm-hmm.
cured their cancer. I've heard that.
Mm-hmm.
But other people will build up to a higher amount, to that gram a day, and then take the gram a day for 60 days, and then that cures their cancer. I've heard, you know, obviously mm-hmm. we need studies, but you don't need to wait for the studies to try it yourself.
Right, right. Now, the gram a day, then, is that the actual combination of the THC and the CBD, or will the CBD do it by itself?
Well, okay, so Rick Simpson, in the beginning and even today, is still talking about using strong indica, which really, he's talking about THC, not CBD. The gal who cured herself of the melanoma, she used a version that was 50% THC and 50% CBD in the high dose. And I have a patient who makes oils that in which he's able to control how much exactly is in there, and he's got one that's almost entirely CBD and one that's half and half and one that's almost entirely THC. And he says that the people aren't all that interested in the one that's all CBD because it really doesn't work for treating cancer.
Oh.
That you really need the THC.
Mm-hmm.
So except for, of course, the triple positive
mm-hmm.
breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and for sure more studies are needed and more work needs to be done. But if I had cancer, you know, I'd be taking higher THC than
mm-hmm.
50-50 at least.
Oh, you would? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And
but, you know, but everybody's different and, mm-hmm. you know, you might organize it so you take a high THC at bedtime and then in the morning you take the high CBD.
And how do people take that? Isn't that quite a bit then to take?
Well, I mean, because the stuff is so concentrated, it's a tiny amount.
Oh, is it?
There's a lot of THC in there.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say compared to smoking it, you couldn't smoke that much because mm-hmm. You just couldn't. You know, it's in the bud. Even it's not that concentrated.
Mm-hmm. And so you would be high then on the dose that would be needed for cancer, is that right?
Well, yeah, I guess high is the word. Well, you know, it certainly has the effect, right? And then people will accommodate to it, and some people accommodate to it better than others. So
mm-hmm.
there are some people that are just completely wiped out, and they're pretty much almost in bed the whole time. You know, but you need to rest. So what? You've got
mm-hmm.
cancer. You're treating yourself for 2 or 3 months. You're going to be resting. It's part of the healing process. It's not forever, and it doesn't, it's unlike chemo, it's not going to destroy your, you know, this, that, or the other in body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But some people actually do accommodate pretty fast, and even on this high dose, they're able to function completely normal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Some people can, some people can't. And
mm-hmm.
so some people actually continue to take a high dose. I mean, maybe the gram a day is what you would use to treat cancer. And some people actually, even after they're, well, in remission, we'll say,
mm-hmm.
will continue to use a high dose as prevention. There's a famous case. I hope he won't mind us using his name, Tommy Chong. He's talked publicly about it. And he had cancer and he used a cannabis to cure his cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Then he did Dancing with the Stars, and for two reasons he stopped using cannabis. One, so that he could learn the dances better, and the other, so he could show that he could do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he went off of cannabis completely during the Dancing with the Stars, which I guess the process went on for some months. And while he was off of the cannabis, his cancer came back.
Oh.
And then when he used the cannabis again, it didn't really completely work. He had to do other things too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's back in remission again. But in stopping the cannabis, the cancer came back. And so that's a common thing in general. If you do a treatment and you stop, then the disease can come back sometimes.
Do you think that if he'd used a holistic approach, that it would have come back?
Well, I mean, what he was doing during that period of time that he was on the Dancing with the Stars, I don't think he did all the natural things one would do to prevent keep it away.
But
I don't know all the details of that.
Yeah. Oh, that's right, though, because I was thinking mine never came back, but I did continue doing the prayer and the meditation and being optimistic and all of those things that's right. Yeah. So I never really stopped what was treatment, but I never considered it treatment afterwards.
Right. That's right. It's just, it's lifestyle.
So, right.
You know, cancer is one of the many lifestyle diseases. And then when you change your lifestyle to get well, if you continue with the new lifestyle, you don't get the disease again. And if you go back to the old lifestyle, you do.
Now, this cannabis would only be available to those people living in states where it's now legal?
I mean, that's where it's legally available, but cannabis, anybody can find it almost anywhere, whether it's legal or not.
Oh, can they?
You're just at the risk of getting busted, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Because someone told me recently that they were getting much more strict about taking it on the plane out of, say, California. Because at the time I interviewed the woman that has Aunt Zelda's, I think it is, that does the dosing in California, she said that the airlines were not bothering people at all if they came there and got it and left and took it home.
Right. I'm not sure exactly how that works. I know that if you're flying to a cannabis-friendly state, it's easier and the whole legal thing is a little strange.
Mm-hmm. And do you know how many states now have it legalized?
I don't know the number, but it's quite a few of them are medical and a small few are recreational.
Now, as far as pain, the CBD oil does work for that, right?
Well, everybody's different, so it's just hard to say exactly what's what.
Oh. You haven't used it a lot for pain for patients? Or do you use the...
Well, I mean, I'm not actually dispensing the medicine myself. Mm-hmm. I write the letter of recommendation that makes it legal.
Mm-hmm.
But under federal law, then what my writing the letter of recommendation is considered free speech by the Supreme Court, but I'm not allowed under federal law to be involved with how they get it or how they use it. And now things are changing and some doctors are a little more hands-on, but I haven't been just because of federal law that I'm protected if I write the letter, but I'm not protected if I get more hands-on with it.
That
makes sense.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And I mean, it makes sense in one way, but it doesn't make any sense in another way.
No, right.
But I do hear from people, and you know, the CBD does help people with pain in many cases, for sure.
I know I gave a friend whose mother had had pain for over 5 years. He said she hadn't slept through the night. And he was a public school teacher, and he'd come home, and he said she'd be in bed. And so I gave him some of my CBD, which was the concentrated, and he rubbed it on. I told him to take 15 drops, but he rubbed it on. And he said within 20 minutes, her pain stopped. And he contacted me a week later to tell me the results. And he said she hadn't had pain since, and that she was sleeping well nights. And, you know, when he would get home, she was up watching, reading. And he said then she started talking to him about dying. She was 96 or 97. I said, well, probably if she had been in severe pain, she wasn't able to think about, you know, dying, and she's preparing you. But she'd been going to a pain clinic and was on Oxycontin and I don't know what all, and none of it was working, but the CBD oil did. So at least with her, it was a success.
Well, no, for sure, we do hear about it working for pain, absolutely.
Is there anything else you'd like to say, Dr. Eidelman, before we look at your services, books, if you have a website, and anything else?
Yeah, sure. Well, I just want to say there is a ton of science that's being done in laboratories that show that THC and CBD and other aspects of the plant do have different kind of anti-cancer properties.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, it is known that there are surface receptors on the cancer cell that THC triggers apoptosis. In other words, it causes natural cell death. So there is a ton of science behind that cannabis does this, in the laboratory. And just because of all the legalities of it, there isn't that much research on the clinicals. Mm-hmm. And so we all have to be our own little research projects. We're each our own N of one. That means, the research has one person, that's you or me or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
And in the N's of one, we're seeing some good results. But there is a lot of research showing the effects of cannabis fighting cancer.
And other diseases.
And other diseases.
Because I interviewed Dr. Terry Walls in Iowa, who is a researcher, and she had debilitating multiple sclerosis so bad she couldn't get out of bed. And she said she went to all the traditional doctors. No one could help her. And she started researching, and she now bicycles 20 miles a day to work and back, researching cannabis, among other things, with multiple sclerosis. And a big part of her protocol is the paleo diet. I know she's researching it in that area, which is another difficult area to deal with.
Food contributes. Food can be healing, and food can cause disease too. And many of us, we eat things that we think are healthy, and in the end, they aren't. And most of the conventional doctors aren't educated in this. And one of the recent concepts is that wheat, not weed, wheat, like bread and that kind of thing, turns out to not be good for you. And so that's why the gluten-free thing has become such a big deal lately, because people are reacting to gluten in a way that it does cause disease. And the only way you can really find out is to do an experiment of getting off of wheat. And then if somebody might have a list of conditions in their body that, that you wouldn't say are perfect, and then do the experiment and see how many of them improve, there's going to be a lot of them. And so, and then one of the aspects of wheat is that the glycemic index, in other words, how fast it goes from food in the mouth to blood sugar, the glycemic index of wheat is higher than the glycemic index of table sugar.
It is. So, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So somebody with cancer shouldn't be eating wheat because it's like eating sugar. And somebody with multiple sclerosis, might find if they do the paleo diet, they're not eating wheat. And that would be one of the reasons that they get better.
One thing I've found is I'm gluten sensitive. I'm sensitive to wheat, rye, barley, oats, and so I avoid it. But I can eat things from Germany that have wheat in it. And so I wondered how much of our problem is a result of genetically modified foods.
Well, they changed the wheat about 30 or 40 years ago. And the, in the song America the Beautiful, there's the line amber waves of grain.
Right.
That refers to fields and fields of tall grasses of wheat blowing in the wind. But the modern wheat, which predates the modern GMO, but they did do something to play with the genetics of the wheat that wasn't completely the normal boy-girl way of doing it. And the modern wheat, they literally call it dwarf. It produces about like 10 times more food per acre, but there's a different protein that the gluten is part of the protein complex. And so there's a different protein complex that people aren't digesting well, and that's what's causing the problem. So if there are places like Germany or Italy or wherever that are still using the old wheat, then there would be less of a reaction to it. That's part of it.
Yeah, my friends send me German cookies, which aren't near as sweet as American. And I don't usually eat sugar, but when they'd send them, I'd put them in the freezer, and maybe once a month I'd eat one. And then one day I realized they had wheat in it, and I had no reaction, but I just cannot tolerate wheat.
Right. I've had people tell me that when they go to Europe and they eat the wheat in Europe, they don't have the same reactions as in them. And I suspect that they must be growing wheat the old way in Europe, but I'm not really sure.
Yeah, right.
Well, I was going to say, I have two main websites. One of them is drideleman.com, DREIDELMAN.com. And then the other one is imanonsmoker.com, imanonsmoker.com, because, well, I discovered that this device, the AlphaStim, hooked up to the ears, melts the craving for a cigarette in 2 minutes every time, nearly without exception.
Really?
A 20-minute treatment keeps it away for about 8 hours. Someone who repeats it a few times a day, after a week or two, the craving stops coming back. Then they still have to remember in their mind that, okay, now I'm a non-smoker, because there's still like a sub-personality or a part that wants to smoke, and you've got the automatic pilot, you know, the habit where we unconsciously will reach for cigarettes. So you have to maintain the mindfulness that now you're a non-smoker. And if you remain mindful that I'm a non-smoker, the device takes away the need for a cigarette, makes it easy to quit. And so my website on that is imanonsmoker.com.
And is it an expensive device? Or is it something you use in your office? Or
well, no, you have you would either buy it or rent it. It's not cheap, but at the price of cigarettes, it's, you know, 2 or 3 months of smoking cigarettes, and it's a piece of cake to get off of. So, you know, is it worth it? Yes, not yet, in my opinion. I was never a cigarette smoker, but I've seen it work like magic.
Well, the other thing that works like magic for me was having lung cancer. I stopped smoking.
Well, that'll do it. Although, amazingly enough, there are still people, you know, who have emphysema that don't stop. And even though most people would, some people it doesn't, and then they just go ahead.
Right, right.
After they die, if it's emphysema, they die. But this makes it easy to quit.
Right. Now, can you tell us about your practice?
Well, I write the cannabis letters to make it legal to use cannabis here in California. I also see people with any other condition, and I have many, many other different alternative therapies. You know, cannabis is the gateway herb to natural medicine, and I work with all different kind of herbs and diet and energy medicine. So even not using cannabis, we can find a way to help people get healed for most conditions.
And do you work with people at a distance, or do they have to be come to your office?
Well, usually they come in the first time, but then we can work at a distance. And sometimes we can work at a distance completely, but usually they come in the first time.
Do they? And so they would contact you at the first email address, I mean the first website?
Website, yeah, drideleman.com, or the telephone number is 323-463-3295.
Great. Well, I appreciate this, Dr. Eidelman. It's been very interesting, and it's answered the questions that I've had, you know, for a while, even after interviewing several other people, as I told you earlier. And so I know it will be helpful to the listeners to know, you know, about how much and how long it takes.
Right.
You know, people always want to know.
Right.
I think often the natural interventions take longer. I know with the Laetril that I used, it took 2 years. And I think a lot of times people want a quick fix. You know, with the chemo, it may be quick, but it may also come back. And so...
Well, I mean, the thing about chemo is that it kills the weak cells, but it doesn't kill the cancer stem cells.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's maybe the last thing is that there are a variety of different natural substances that are shown to get mm-hmm. rid of the cancer stem cells, and I think the cannabinoids are one of them.
Good.
And that's why it really works.
Good. Well, thank you again. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, and we'll look forward to meeting you in person.
I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show, and I hope some of the information will be useful to you. I invite you to my websites, holistichealthshow.com, where you will find all shows for the past 7 years under the blog. You will also find much of the research on natural ways to deal with cancer and other health conditions, and can sign up for my free monthly newsletter. On my website, beatlungcancer.net, you will find many of the 135 interviews from radio and television over the past 2 years about my book on treating lung cancer naturally and holistically when I was diagnosed 41 years ago next month and given 6 months to live by traditional medicine who offered chemo and surgery. This book was published in November 2012 and was a bestseller on Amazon. You will find endorsements of the book, a place to buy the book, and an earlier one from 2007 titled Healthy Holistic Aging, A Blueprint for Success. On my third website, you will find information on the Carl O'Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation, begun last year and currently in the phase of completing the website. This site is at www.holisticcancerfoundation.com. Information on how the foundation differs from others, board members, research on holistic natural ways to deal with cancer, including mental and spiritual interventions, interviews with cancer physicians and survivors, and more. If you would like to donate to the work I am supporting, there is a tab to donate, and I can offer you a tax exemption receipt if living in the United States. I also invite you to join me on Facebook at my Facebook page, facebook.com/Carl Helvey, on my Holistic Health Show page at facebook.com/pages/Holistic Health Show, and the Carl O'Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation page at www.facebook.com/beatlungcancernaturalalternative. On LinkedIn, I invite you to join me under my name, Dr. Carl O'Helvey. On Twitter, I invite you to join me at www.twitter.com/HolistHealthShow, HolistHealthShow. I wish you a great week, and I look forward to having you here in 2 weeks. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host.